Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. And in chapters 50 and 51, the Lord turns his attention on Babylon. And we might say that the Lord has a lot to say about Babylon. So these chapters are fairly lengthy, 50 and 51. I'll ask you to hold on tight. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Publish, and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein, and they shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. And they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from the mountain to hill, or from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, We offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flocks. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. And Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass, and bellow as bulls, your mother shall be sore confounded, she that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost part of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Every one that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow. Shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about, she hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her, as she hath done, do unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle, in the time of harvest, for fear of the oppressing sword, they shall return every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Go up against the land of Merathaim, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. The sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon. Thou wast not aware. Thou art found, and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory, and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation, for this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, and all ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done unto her, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up, and I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall throughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so no man shall abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses, every one put in array, like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong, but I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint the time? Who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I like to keep my notes to one or two pages with regard to readings, but due to the length of this chapter, I have ballooned into 3 pages. Hopefully the reading won't be too long, but there are some very important things. First of all, the Lord now turns his attention to Babylon, and we must confess that this ought to be a comforting word for the people of God that received the prophecy of Jeremiah in that day. They were a people that were, some of them had already gone into captivity. During the days of the writing of Jeremiah's prophecy, there were those successive waves of invasion where captives were taken. And finally, the city was utterly destroyed. And that, they knew, was coming. If it had not already been done, it was indeed coming, shortly to come to pass. And so those who were in captivity, and those who were scattered, and those who had fled to Egypt, and all of those who recognized that their homeland had been taken from them through the judgment of the Lord at the hand of the king of Babylon, the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, this must have been a comforting word to them, that the Lord was indeed going to punish Babylon and restore in Zion those who proclaimed his name. So that's the first thing. Very long chapter, obviously, but a comforting chapter to the people of God that received that prophecy, that the Lord would not hold his anger forever, but that there would come a time when there would be deliverance from the captivity and Babylon would be overthrown. So then, in the first section, we see these various names. What do they mean? Babylon was the name of the city-state. Now, it was also a country, but really it was centered around a city-state. The Chaldeans, well, that speaks of that larger region in that area, or Chaldea. Bel, what is Bel, B-E-L? Bel is the name of, well, it's kind of a trade name for the god of Babylonia. Bel, you can hear in that its relationship to Baal. You hear that? Bel, Baal. And really what it means is master. But then Merodach is a more specific name, the name of a particular false god, and this is the national god of Babylon, if you will. But notice that none of them will escape. Bel will not escape. Merodach will not escape. The land of the Chaldeans will not escape, and Babylon herself will not escape either. They all come under the bullseye of the Lord. The prophecy in particular, notice, and you know, you might say, well, Pastor, here in Jeremiah chapter 50, it's obvious that the Lord is stirred up in his anger, and he's pronouncing his vengeance upon Babylon. And yes, that is true. There is a particular vengeance there's a vengeance of the Lord that is visited upon Babylon in this chapter. But notice that there are 2 reasons for that. The first reason, well, actually there are 3 reasons given. And some of them, you know, they overlap. But the first reason is that they were rapacious against God's people. Notice that even though God sent Babylon to destroy Jerusalem and Judah, that he still reserves the right to judge Babylon for doing so. Secondly, notice that Babylon is a land given over to idols, to idolatry, and the Lord's vengeance is visited upon them for their idolatry. And brothers and sisters, let's make sure that we understand this, okay? That when the Lord beholds idolatry in anyone, he considers that an affront to himself. It does. Well, you say, well, Pastor, this is a heathen nation. We expect idolatry. Yes, we do. And the Lord exercises his vengeance against it. Idolatry is still an affront. Listen, let us not do what many do today and contextualize these things. Oh, well, within the context of Babylon, they were a very godly people. There is no Babylonian context. There is no idolatrous context unless it can be described as vengeance. Then, notice also the third thing that is mentioned in this chapter that the Lord exercises his vengeance upon is what? Pride. That they are very proud. And of course, anytime we throw off the commandments of God, anytime we worship another God than the true God, anytime we move against his people with confidence, these are all just the fruit of pride, are they not? Most certainly they are. All right, so the destruction of Babylon's gods are seen to be tantamount to the destruction of Babylon herself. It's very important that we understand that, because every nation, no matter what it is, has a god. You realize that, right? There are national gods. And it, you know, when you have some time today, when you're meditating on things on your Sabbath day, maybe before you drift off to sleep tonight, think on that. What is the god of this country? What is America's god? And if America has a God that is other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I believe she does, is the Lord's vengeance not stirred up against this country as well? Most certainly it is. So when the Lord moves against the country's gods, whatever they are, that is also the destruction of that country. Those are the things in which they trust. Those are the things that give them what they think they need. We've seen that, haven't we? We've seen the economic foundations of this country, our God. We've seen them struck against by God Almighty, haven't we? We've seen one of our most prosperous industries in this nation, our oil industry. Things that, fuel our economic engine. We've seen that sorely diminished, damaged. And there are many, many things. If you just sit with a legal pad in a couple of hours, or maybe you don't have that kind of time, maybe an hour, maybe 45 minutes, and start writing out America's gods, and then taking a look over the last several years of how God has struck at those gods. So, moving on then, the destruction of Babylon is the deliverance of the people of God. Babylon was the oppressor. Babylon was the captor. And so we must understand that in order for God to release his people, he destroys those spheres of bondage to his people. And then we note also the covenant here. Notice, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be broken. This is not a national covenant. This is that covenant that pertains to the covenant of grace. It is the raising of the hand and swearing allegiance to God himself, which is what we do in our church vows. It is that kind of a covenant that we're talking about here. Then the second section, which begins in verse 9 and ends, let's see, how do I have it, in verse 20. So 9 through 20, the destruction of Babylon continues. In this prophetic portion, they took pleasure at their destruction of God's heritage. They took pleasure in the destruction of Judah, and they have grown fat and prideful, trusting in their own strength, and they have not acknowledged that it was the Lord who sent them on that errand. Then also, the Lord, those whom the Lord causes to execute judgment in Babylon are given a charge. Put yourselves in array. Spare no arrows. Take aim. And let fly. Notice that as Assyria was an instrument of God's judgment to Israel, and as Babylon was an instrument of God's judgment to Judah, so the Medes and the Persians, and in the next chapter we'll see others also joining in that confederation, Ashkenaz, which is, you know, the areas up and around Afghanistan today. Even those people will join in the destruction, the vengeance of God upon Babylon. And notice this most telling sentence, she hath sinned against the Lord. Notice the singular, she. Nations indeed are judged by the Lord as to whether or not they have endeavored to obey to call upon him, to trust in him, and to acknowledge him as King of Nations. And so therefore it follows that this destruction is the vengeance of the Lord. Notice that this is Babylon. This is a time in human history when God had a particular nation that belonged to him. And yet this other nation is judged for not calling upon him. The Lord claims that nations ought to worship him as nations. All right, so then the third section. Verses 21 through 32, we have a couple of names that are coined here by Jeremiah. Merathaim. Whenever you hear "iam" on the end of a Hebrew word, it's more than just a plural. It's a doubling. It means there's two of them, or it's doubly something. You remember our old friend from the book of Judges, Cushan Rishathaim. Cushan means black, and Rishon means evil or bad, but Rishathaim means doubly bad, and Cushan means black, and so we nicknamed him, if you remember, Blackie Double Bad. Cushan Rishathaim. Okay, here we have Merathaim. You know what Merathaim means, or Merat means? It means rebellion. She is doubly rebellious. The Lord nicknames Babylon Merathaim. He also nicknames her Pekod. Pekod. And Pekod means visitation. And when the Lord comes to visit, he's not talking about sitting down for tea. This is judgment, that kind of visitation. Okay. So here we have then Merathaim and Pekod. The other name that Babylon is given in this section is the hammer of the whole earth. Why would she be called the hammer of the whole earth? Well, we know why, because we've been reading the book of Jeremiah, and we know that the Lord gave King Nebuchadnezzar a charge to conquer the known world. All the way down to Egypt, all the way up to north, and Tyre and Sidon, all the way through the land of Canaan. The Assyrians, gone. The Egyptians, conquered. The Canaanites, forget it. The Philistines, no way. The Phoenicians, subjugated. The hammer of the whole earth. And yet, notice that the hammer of the whole earth was swung by God. And when he stops swinging the hammer, he breaks it to pieces. Notice the power and might of Almighty God. Several times in this passage, the Lord describes himself as what? Yahweh of hosts, right? The Lord of armies. The Lord of armies. That there is no army that is able to stand against him. Now, sometimes the Lord's army looks fearsome. Looks like an army riding in with shield and spear and bow and so on. There are other times the Lord's army looks very small. He's got his little armies like locusts and caterpillars. Sometimes the Lord's armies are hail that falls from the sky, wind that blows over structures. But make no mistake, he is indeed Yahweh Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts. All right, so then the Lord presents also himself as a hunter laying a snare, as a general, a warrior captain with an armory. And in this is that section where it says the Lord has opened up his armory. What is an armory? It's a place where you store weaponry. It's what you do when you're ready to prosecute a war. And so all this points to the necessity for us of not being the Lord's enemy. What did Joshua say? Choose this day whom you will serve, either the gods of the nations where you came out, or the Lord God. But as for me and for my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. And the people at that point, what do they say? God forbid that we should serve those on the other side of the flood. But we will worship the Lord who hath brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Which side are we on? The Lord presents himself as an enemy to all those that deny him. An enemy, a warrior, captain with an armory and a complete battlement against all those who would rise up against him. Don't rise up against him. That's the point. When he speaks, obey. When he commands, hear him. All right, and then the sins of Babylon, she is most proud. The final section then, and I know I'm way out of time, but there is something that we must say. There is a word to comfort the people of God. Notice, their Redeemer is strong. Isn't that great? What enemy is there? Your Redeemer is strong. What is that enemy that we fear most? Your Redeemer is strong. Right? What is that greatest enemy of all? We know. So it's in the back of our minds today. The enemy is death. That's the Redeemer. That's the enemy that we fear the most. And what does Job say? I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he uses that word Redeemer because we are brought out from under the bondage of death. We are redeemed from that cruel enemy. When Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, then he goes on to say, and I know that I'll stand on the earth with him at the last day, and my very eyes will see him. And not another. I'll see him. Your Redeemer is strong. There is no enemy that can keep you from him. All right. Let's stand and continue praying.